ఋషపాల పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్సు శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం. క్రీడా ప్రవిష్ట ఋషపాల పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్సు శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి ఆనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి రామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ ద్వైరగదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోవ గోవినాథ శ్యామ గుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి రాయపూర్ ధామ్కి గారుబురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయకి చంద్రమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి ఓ ప్రేమానంద నమస్తే సరస్వతి గౌరవాణి ప్రజాలిని నిర్విశేషన్యవాది పశ్చాతి దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
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 ఓం అజ్ఞాన త్రిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాశలాకయ వైష్ణవాం సాగర జాతం సహజన రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పదాన్ సహజన లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణీ. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామినే శ్రీ వర్షభానవి దేవి దైవాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోక్షల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీ రూపానుగ భక్తి శ్రీ గౌరగుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీ మూర్తయే దీనతారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంత ద్వందహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్య మూర్తయే విప్రలం వర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామిని గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపయోగవరాయతే పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహాపదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరత్వశే నమః. పాంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపణం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాస్త్రియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే. జగదంశుర గౌమంగో మమ వందన దీర్ఘది మత్సర్వస్వదాం భోజౌ రాధా మదన మోహనౌ. దివ్య వృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమంత్ర రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థం శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాశీల గోవింద దేవ ప్రస్థాని సేవమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్నాసర సారంభి వంశీవడదసిల కషాన్వేసు నేర్ గోవేర్ గోవినాహ శ్రీయేస్తునాహ
ततलांजन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वानुसुदे देवी प्रणवामि हरि प्रिय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ पाताय प्रतिबोधिनां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रहिदां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम् नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे कुलारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपा प्रपन्नवारिजाताय त्वत्रमेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतगृहे नमः सर्वौपनिषदो गावो लोकागो बालनन्दनं पार्थो वल्लसुसुतिर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महः वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गाङ्गारनीलोत्पला शरीरग्राहवती कृपेण महनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमगरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवा पाराशर्यजस्सरोजमलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोके सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पेदीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्कुं लङ्घयदे गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैर्साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ज्ञानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुःसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
So, last Sunday, we mentioned about the three kinds of distress what we have, isn't it? Adhyalmiyam, Adibhaudiyam, Adidevigam. So, from external living and external, from Prakriti, material nature, what we receive is Adibhaudiyam. Is it not? Like heat, excessive heat, cold, and cyclones, drought, earthquake, all this is Adibhaudiyam. Adibhaudiyam. And then our own body, what it gives trouble to us. Our own body and the mind, it gives trouble to us. And that means from our body we know, it is easy to understand when the body gets in trouble. But when the mind gets in trouble, we don't know. We don't understand that. Because we are with the mind always, isn't it? So, mind in the form of sushma vasana, that is what is causing the problem. In the form of very subtle vasanas that is present inside, it comes out. And they cause problems. So in that verse you can see in the Bhagavatam, we mentioned that also in the last verse, Kasmayena Vibhasidoyam Atulam, the last chapter, the end of the Bhagavatam, where it says that this Jnanam, Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, all the knowledge of the Bhagavatam also, both, that Jnana Pradipa Pura Tadruvena Cha Naradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tadruvena. This knowledge was handed over to Brahma from Krishna. Krishna handed over to Brahma, from Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyasa, like that. But Krishna situated in everyone's heart received the message. Krishna situated in everyone's heart handed over the message. Actually, this knowledge is Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. That's the main thing. So, by following this, what will happen? Yogindraya Dalpanada Bhagavadradaya Karunyatam. What will happen is, Yogindraya, all the great yogis, the Dalpanada Bhagavadradaya Karunyatam. Krishna's Karunyam, that mercy that is flowing like this in the form of this knowledge, constantly it is flowing in this world. Tachruddham Vimalam Vishokam Amrutam. It purifies the person. It puts you into a situation, freedom from all kinds of distress, and Satyam Param Dhimahi, it gets fixed in that truth. I know it looks very poetical statement, isn't it? But when it comes to practice, you got to see Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam together. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to separate them out. So first thing is that our Swarupam is Brahmam. Brahmam is our real Swarupam, isn't it? That Brahmam, pure consciousness, awareness, that is our Swarupam. So, when we say these things, you should never think that, oh, I cannot understand anything what is being spoken. This will be inside the mind will tell you this. I'm not able to understand anything. Because this is not a topic for understanding. That is the first thing to know. We read Bhagavad Gita thinking that everything I will understand what Krishna has spoken. That's our ego inside. We thinking that whatever Krishna has spoken I should understand. That is our attitude. Most of the people have this attitude when they read Bhagavad Gita, that I should understand. Oh, it's all spoken there. It's very clear. What's the problem? That's their attitude. But the thing is that it is not a topic for understanding. It is a topic for getting into the heart. Remember, we talked about that Hridsthanam. Krishna calls it the Hridsthanam. And we mentioned this story many times before. This mad person, Narayanath Brahman, he was one of the 12 children of the Varahaji's 12 children. Vikramaditya's court, he was a great scholar. He had these 12 children born from his wife, who was born in a very pariah family. He comes from a topmost Brahmana family and she came from the lowest family. Somehow or the other, due to his prarabdham, they had to marry. And there's a whole story behind that. We'll not get into that. After the marriage, children were born. He couldn't stay anymore in Ujjain, where Vikramaditya had his empire. So anyway, Varahaji left his hometown. Vikramaditya sent word for him to come back because he was such a well-known scholar, but he wouldn't come back, he left. And they started traveling through the forest, and every time a child was born, Varahaji asked the wife, has he got a mouth? Because after this marriage happened, Varahaji's faith in the destiny has become so strong. He tried to avoid, he knew that he will be forced to marry a girl who will be completely out of the system, what was existing then. Knowing all these things, he tried to avoid it, but somehow or the other it happened. That story, if you want to read, you can go through the website and get the story there. It's a long history there. So, Varahaji married her and the children were born from her. 12 children were born. And he understood that if this is powerful, how destiny is, why do I have to worry about looking after anyone in this world? This was Varahaji's mood from then on. Krishna has given them a mouth. Krishna knows how to feed them as well. This was Varahaji's position. So, every time a child was born, Varahaji will ask his wife, has it got a mouth? She'll say, yes, it has got a mouth. Leave it there. And they used to walk away from there to continue their journey further. So in this way, and in that, one of the sons who were born, they were all born and they were all looked after by different people in the society. Some of them were brought up as Brahmana, some of them were brought up as Kshatriya, some of them were brought up as Vaishyas, some of them were brought up as Shudras, and some of them were brought up as Parayas as well. So you have a mixture of all kind of people in one family, 12 children, 12 different different backgrounds. They used to come together once a year to perform the Shraddha ceremony of the father. And that used to happen in the eldest son, Agnihotri, who was the Brahmana, who was brought up by a Brahmana family. So Agnihotri had problems because once in a year, all these people come inside the house. And in those days, it was so rigid. They wouldn't like people from other castes to come inside the house, even was not acceptable to them. It was just a society like that in them days. So Narayan Brahman was one of these 12 children who was totally mad. Totally mad in the sense due to realization, like Jada Bharata and many others. So they used to ask him that when one instance when he came to see Agnihotri was reading Upanishads, and Narayan Brahman sat there and started listening to it. He listened to it for a while, and without saying anything, he walked out from there. And this happened a few times. One day they asked Narayan, "What have you understood what is being spoken?" He said, "Yes, I have understood that. I cannot understand it," he said. "That's what I understood. Because it's not a subject for understanding. So this Brahma Tattvam, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, is that not for understanding. That's the first thing we have to know. It is not for understanding. If you think it's for understanding, then you lost it. You didn't get it. If you think that it is for understanding, then that means you got it, lost it straight away. So, so here, that vastu is aprameyam. Aprameyam means what? Prameyam means that can be captured by the mind. Mind can capture something, then it is prameyam. Aprameyam means that cannot be captured by the mind. That's why it's called aprameyam. So, for example, if I say laddu, you will understand what laddu is, isn't it, straight away? So, similarly, if I say train, you will understand what a train is. Or if I see he is from an American, you will understand he is from America, or he is a European, or a Indian, or whatever you may say. But, if I tell you Nityashuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupa, you won't understand. You won't capture it, would you? Like you capture the other things. Like the laddu, like the clock or the mic or train or whatever, which you have captured straight away in your mind, Nityashuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, you will not capture in the same way. Isn't it? So when I say the other things, you will imagine something in your mind. Straight away, you get an impression inside. You get an impression, some impression inside. About what I have said, if I say a clock or a watch or a mic or a train or whatever, you will have an impression straight away inside your mind. But when I talk about Brahman, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, no impression comes into the mind. Mind withdraws. Mind cannot get it. That is the proof of that. Mind cannot get it. So that is the reason when we discuss Bhagavad Gita, you fall asleep. This is the reason. The mind is not able to get it. Therefore, either you will imagine something, try some ways, or you will go to sleep. You will go to sleep. That's why most of people find it very very disinteresting, this Bhagavad Gita class. They will find it very boring. And because of this reason, that they are only used to knowing things with the mind. They don't know that there is something else outside the mind happening in all of us, which we are not conscious of. We have never taken that side seriously. There is so many things happening in us without the mind getting involved, and that aspect is unknown to us, and therefore we have this problem. Whereas in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is not for the mind. It's not for the mind, can't help you there. Mind is only a distraction. So this is the reason, say, that when we chant the holy name also people find feeling sleepy, isn't it? Because why? If you're trying to do it with the mind, mind is not interested in the holy name, again go to sleep, isn't it? So, therefore, do not think that, oh, I did not understand, because this chapter is very, very difficult chapter. And if you're not understood, don't worry about it. If you're not understood, don't worry about it. Because it is not meant for understanding, first thing. I will put it very openly that it is not for understanding, it is meant for going into the heart. It's meant for the heart. So, you can see this in the Bhagavad Gita also. Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita and he forgotten that later. Did he not? He forgot that later. Not only us, Arjuna also forgets. Arjuna also forget. So, so what happened in Mahabharata, you will see, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says to Krishna that this is long time after the war. Once it so happened that Arjuna is staying with Krishna. It's in the Mahabharata, the story. One day they had prasadam together, a good lunch. And then in the afternoon they had other snacks and they wanted to go for a walk in the evening. While walking, Arjuna says to Krishna, you remember, Krishna says to Krishna, that you told me this Bhagavad Gita long ago in the battlefield, Kurukshetra. Can you say that again, what you said? Arjuna says to Krishna, says to him. So Krishna says to him that, Arjuna says to him, I can't remember anything what you said that day. A lot of things I have forgotten. So, you have to remember that Arjuna who asked that question to Krishna is not there anymore. That Arjuna is changed, isn't it? There, karpanya doshava hrida subhavam prachamitvam dharma samuta chedaha. That verse in the second chapter. That how Arjuna went to Krishna and what was that state of consciousness, Arjuna's state of mind. So, so there it says Arjuna Vishada Yogam. Arjuna was in distress and it was in distress Arjuna is asking this question. All these questions Arjuna asked, in distress it was asked, isn't it? So, so Arjuna says to Krishna that I am completely finished. I don't know what I have to do. Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prabhannam. I surrender unto you. Help me. I have no other shelter. This mood in Arjuna is the reason why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to him. Because of that surrender in him, isn't it? It is not that Arjuna who caught hold of Krishna's feet and asked that, and how Krishna spoke to him about that. And it is not that Arjuna who is asking now. Things have changed in Arjuna's case also. So Krishna says to him, it is not possible to speak Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna says to him, to Arjuna, Arjuna, doesn't matter that whatever I have spoken to you is the truth. That Krishna's firm, very strong words Krishna uses to Arjuna and says to him, whatever I have spoken to you is truth and the truth will never be lost. Truth can never be lost. And nothing requires for the truth to come back in your life. And even if you try to forget it, when it is necessary, it will come back. When it is necessary, it will come back and it will come out and it will start illuminating you at the right time, when it's necessary. This is Krishna's words to Arjuna. When I spoke to you those words to you on that day, that itself is Bahidharma Subhariyaptaha Brahmanam Padavedanai. Krishna says here that whatever I have instructed you, that is more than sufficient. Why? Brahmana Padavedane means it can take you right up to Brahman realization. It is capable of doing that, that knowledge, Krishna says to Arjuna. So, the same thing, this is in the Mahabharata. Same thing in the Bhagavatam also, you see the same thing, spoken like that. After Krishna left this planet, Arjuna cried a lot, Krishna's departure. And then he comes to Yudhishthira Maharaj and says to him that after he has, after he cried and he felt that separation from Krishna a lot, and then after everything was gone, the distresses come down a lot after he has cried a lot, and then he the Bhagavad Gita came back to him in his own life. Bhagavad Gita came back to him. By then Krishna was gone. That is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there how Krishna has spoken that. That very clearly, very explicitly, it is put in the Bhagavatam. If you look into the 15th chapter in the first canto, says to him that if you look into verse 30 in the 15th chapter, Gidam Bhagavad Gita Bhagavadajnanam Yattal Sangrama Murdhani Kala Karma Tamoruddham Punaradhyagamat Prabhu. Gidam Bhagavadajnanam Yattal Sangrama Murdhani Kala Karma Tamoruddham Punaradhyagamat Prabhu. Due to this knowledge, Bhagavad Gita's knowledge, Gitam Bhagavadajnanam, knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, Yatal Sangrama Murdhani, it has elevated Arjuna. Kala Karma Tapo Ruddham, what has been lost due to Kalam, due to time, Karmam, due to engaging in Karmam, Tamo Ruddham, due to Tamogunam. All these three things has caused that Punarad Dhyagamat Prabhu, it was it come back to him again. So Arjuna was in a state where he didn't remember anything, but it has come back to him. How did it come back to him? That is what you have to understand. It's not that all verses he has remembered. You should never think like that, that he remembered all the verses. What happened was, what did he understand? The message what he got from Krishna, it has given strength to him. What was that? Arjuna, Krishna is never, there is no death for Krishna, there is no death for Arjuna also. Neither for Krishna nor for Arjuna, there is no such death. We are eternal. That realization, that is from Bhagavad Gita. So those realizations, when Krishna has spoken to Arjuna in the battlefield, the same realizations came back. That is what has come back. That is what is knowledge. Knowledge is not all the verses, but that realization of that what Arjuna received when Krishna first time spoke Bhagavad Gita to him, those realizations started coming back to him again. That is what has happened. So you can see here that is Bhagavad Gita, which was sleeping inside Arjuna, woke up at that moment. So we don't have to, therefore, we don't have to feel distressed about it. Important thing is, this message should come to our help when we need it. That is what is the important thing. Not whether you remember all the verses and translation purport and word by word and all that. That's no use at all at the end. At the end, the message what Krishna has given to Arjuna, if that message is gone inside and if it comes back and helps us when we need it, we will need it one day, won't we? It is not an academic subject. It is meant for our shelter. It is our shelter. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is our shelter. And when we are in trouble, this knowledge should elevate us. Get us out of the ajnanam in us. Ajnanam means avidya, ignorance in us. When we fall down into the bodily level, we have to elevate us from, come out of the bodily concept of life. When we lose this body one day, we have to feel able to leave the body happily and go from here. And that is what that realization is all about. Krishna is talking to Arjuna. That is what Vedam Bhagavata, Gidam Bhagavata Jnanam, what it is talking about. So whether we have understood, not understood, we don't have to worry about it. It is Krishna's words. In that way, we have to hear. In that way, we have to hear. And it will go to the heart and it will lie there. When it is necessary and when we have become pakvam. Pakvam means matured. In our side, when we become matured, at that time it will come out in its own way. That is the way acharyas have taught Bhagavad Gita. They didn't. That is why all these modern processes of teaching Bhagavad Gita through
seminars and courses and all is just a waste of time. It will, they are thinking that it is transcendental knowledge is not something you can hand over like that. It has to be heard, it has to be reflected, we have to perform the sadhana behind it, and all that is necessary. And when we become matured with the knowledge, contemplation, Bhagavad Gita will start working on its own. It doesn't require any external help. It has got that capacity inside. So that is why it is mentioned in that. You can see what happened to Arjuna. Everything is very clearly mentioned in that chapter. When Arjuna heard that, what happened to him? Next verse, if you look, Vishogo Brahma Sambhatyam Samchinna Dvaita Samshayaha Lina Pradinair Gunyam Alingatvad Asambhavaha. This is the result. Exactly what that verse in the Bhagavatam says. Vishogam Tachuddham Vimalam Vishogam. That Vishogam. Freedom from the distress. Three kinds of distresses happened to Arjuna when this Bhagavad Gita came back to him. Brahma Sambhati. Brahma Sambhati means Brahman realization. Samchinna Dvaita Samshayaha. Freedom from duality. Dvaitam has happened to him and doubts. Leena Prakriti Nairgunyan Alingatvala Sambhavaha. That Prakriti Nairgunyan. Nairgunyan means three modes of material nature he has transcended. Alingatval Asambhavaha. Freedom from the identification with the body. And asambhavaha, freedom from the material nature, everything happens to him because of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. So you can see what Arjuna heard in the battlefield many, many years ago, that samskaram, what is gone in, it came back when he needed the help. So similarly, this Bhagavad Gita samskaram, Bhagavad Gita's culture or Bhagavad Gita's knowledge or realization, what we say, which is same as the Bhagavatam realization, has to come to our help when we need it. Gopi said this to Krishna. Gopi said this to Krishna that we may not remember you, but you should remember us. That's what the Gopi said. And Krishna knows that, the situation with all of us, that how much can we remember? How much can we remember anything? We will forget today when we walk out, we will forget everything what we have heard. This is how much memory our memory is. So, unless there is Krishna's help, it's not going to happen. This is the first thing. Unless there is... In the Bhagavatam, you will see, after a long time, when they met in Kurukshetram for the solar eclipse, when the gopis came from Vrindavanam, Nanda Maharaj came, Yashoda Devi came, and from Dwaraka, Krishna went with all the Yadavas and Vrishnis, everybody, and the whole family members, Krishna's family members, they're all present there. And Vasudeva and Devaki was there, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda was there, all the gopis were there, cowherd men from Vrindavanam, they were all come for that solar eclipse. And at that, after that, they were leaving. Krishna arranged everyone, had their own comfortable places to stay, and they had a great time together. Finally, when they were departing, Krishna asked the gopis, is there anything I can do for you? Then anything what you need further from me? Because after a long time they were meeting up each other. So at that time, gopis' prayers, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see what the gopis said to Krishna. That we are ordinary people. We are not highly learned scholars or studied in the Shastram or anything. We are ordinary people. We'll go back to Vrindavanam today. And when we get back, we have to make our living in this world. Selling the buttermilk, that was their profession, isn't it? We'll continue doing that. But you will go back to Dwaraka. And we will try to remember you as much as we could. But that is not guaranteed, they're saying, gopis are saying to Krishna. But any time when we forget you, you should come from inside and remind us about you. That is the way gopis pray to Krishna. That is in the Bhagavatam, you can see the famous Ahuschade Nalina Nava Padaravindam Yogeshare Abhivichintamaghada Bodehi. Gopi says to Krishna, great, great yogis, great personalities, Abhivichintamaghada Bodehi, that they are always meditation on you from the deepest core of their heart. Samsara Kupa Padito Taranavalambam we are not like the yogis. We are ordinary people, householders, living in Vrindavanam. And samsara kuba patito taranavalambam. Often we will fall into material existence, householder life. Samsara kuba patito taranavalambam. And only our shelter is you, nobody else. Geham jushamavi smadiyal sadanam. That when we forget you and we get absorbed in the family life or householder affairs, you should come and wake up inside our heart just like the sun rises. In the darkness, when the sun rises, how the sunlight clears everything and brings the light everywhere. In the same way, you should rise in our heart and remove that darkness, ajnanam, avidya inside. Gopi says this to Krishna. Geham jushabhavi mana sudiyal sadana, it says. So, in the same way, here also, we should not think that we have lost it. You haven't lost it. If you think that you are remembering all the verses and all the translation, that's a waste of time. That's not Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the message. What is the message Krishna is telling us? That message, if it remains inside, you got it. Otherwise, not. So, here, we mentioned this also, that when we are ready for it, at that time, it will come out from inside. And four kinds of listeners we have spoken, that some people they will hear, but half the time they will sleep. Sleeping and listening. They will not sleep all the time. They will sleep now and then listen. So, and another group, this is one group, sleeping and listening. And second group, they won't understand, they couldn't capture anything. And they have misunderstood a lot of things. So, it's nobody's fault. Whose fault is all this? It's the fault what Krishna spoke in the last chapter. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. This is what it is. It is not the person's fault. It is the gunam that is working within that person. A third person, he will get something and he will understand it with the mind. He will understand it with the mind. A lot of things he will understand with the mind and he will keep it. And the fourth person, he will hear and he will experience it on the spot. That is the best shrodha, best listener, is that person. Not the one who understood with the mind, not the one who misunderstood everything, not the one who slept, but this is the last one. This fourth one is the proper listener of Bhagavad Gita. And that is called anubhuti. Anubhuti means experiencing right then when you hear that. So hearing, simultaneously experiencing it. That's that. Hearing and simultaneously experiencing it. That is why this Vedanta Shravanam is a great art in itself. That to be able to hear without being affected by the modes of nature and directly message going in to a person. That means you need to have that freedom from the modes of nature to a great extent, or at least in a good sattva-guna. So Brahma-tattvam, this knowledge of Brahman, will come through Shravanam. There is no question. Shravanam is the process. As like it's saw in the Kathopanishad statement. Shravanayavi bahuvir nolabhyaha. Shrunandobi yona vidyuhu. So, Shravanam is the process. And Salsangam is the way to do that, Shravanam. But, by what happens is, when you have heard a lot of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, what will happen is, there will be another Shravanam happening inside. It's called Andarika Shravana. That means now you are coming with the ears, you are hearing. But later on, when you have heard a lot, inside a Shravanam starts. Andarika Shravanam it's called. That means from inside, Andariyami starts speaking from inside. And even if there is no one talking to you, inside you will start experiencing something. So, initially you will listen from outside, but later on you will start hearing inside without anyone talking to you from outside. Because Andariyami is the one who is capturing everything. Andariyami has to talk to you. That is the subtlety of spiritual life. That will only be experienced. That is to be experienced only. It cannot be spoken about. There is no point in talking about it. It has to be experienced. It has to be experienced. So, when that happens, you can see that the Shravanam process works. It works. So, one realized soul sings a song about that. He says that one person sitting inside my heart started speaking. He says, how? He says that what I could not express through words, he started talking from inside. So in other words, that is anubhuti. Anubhuti means not verbal. Anubhuti is experience, isn't it? Remember those two things, pratiti and anubhuti. Pratiti is the perception through the senses. You can talk about other things. But here, because it is about you, what you are talking about each one of us, isn't it? The self, the soul, atma, prajna, nyakti, whichever way you call it. And that itself is the subject, what we are discussing. And therefore, its presence, only it can do that. That itself is the topic of discussion. So therefore, that he himself start revealing to you from inside who I am. And then you lose your misconception about the ahankaram, false ego which I have identified. So, in order to make ourselves mature for that listening, that the shravanam process first starts with the ears, and then the brahmatattvam starts going in, and it goes quietly, it goes into our anubhuti mandalam. Anubhuti mandalam means the platform of direct experience, platform of experience. Like we have, Prabhupada also mentions, if you have heard this album properly, the first album which we have, Prabhupada spoke about the holy name, he will say there, surpassing the sensual, mental and intellectual, he says there. Holy name is exactly like Bhagavad Gita. It says there, surpassing the sensual, mental and intellectual. If these three, this is the normal three planes we are at. When we are identifying with the body, we are on the sensual platform. Or we are in the mental platform, or we are on the intellectual platform. Prabhupada mentions in that album, surpassing these three things. What is that? This is anubhuti mandala. Anubhuti mandala, the platform of the heart. Platform of the heart. So to get it there, quietly, this knowledge has to go in there. The knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita has to go in there. It's no point in having it in the mental, intellectual or sensual level. It has to be there. So, therefore, in the 14th chapter, Krishna spoke about these three things, isn't it? Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And these three things are in us all the time, all the time. When there is Sattvagunam, what happens? There will be bhakti in the heart. You will feel like meditation. And you will also you will feel kind of shanti inside, and you will feel a happy relationship with others. This is all the nature of that sattvagunam inside, a mood in that way, a kind of mood like that, being in peace with the world, in other words. No feeling any agitated mind, feeling satisfied, content about things, and a shanti inside above everything else, naturally bhakti with that. When there is rajogunam inside, predominant, what will happen is, you want to do things. That's when the problem starts. You spring into action. Or, if you can't do anything, you'll get upset. You cannot control yourself. Or in other words, to sit quietly somewhere becomes very difficult. And you'll be in a shaken situation, disturbed state. That is that rajogunam does that. When tamogunam, if it is tamogunam, then you will feel no interest in anything. Sleepy. Or Krishna mentioned before, alasyam, pramadam, nidra. A kind of sleepy mood, laziness, and pramadam. Pramadam means a kind of and strong identification with the body and things like that. Pramadam, that word, the main symptom of pramadam is nothing will get in. If you say some Prabhupada Gita to someone who has that pramadam, nothing will go in. You will not be able to capture anything. Nothing will go inside. That's all. He cannot do shravana. Hearing process is difficult for him. Tamogunam is present there. So all these three, which one? Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, all three of them actually covers our real nature. All of them covers our real nature. Just like a cloud is covering the sun, in a similar way, all these three modes of nature covers the soul, covers the soul. So this story which I have mentioned before, that a businessman was walking through a forest with a lot of money, gold with him, and three thieves caught hold of him and tied him down. And one person tied him down, another person beat him up, and a third person stood there and watched him, what he was going through. One beat him up, another person tied him down, and the third person stood and watched that. And after a while, the one who beat him up and the one who tied him down, they left him. They left him. And the Satogunam also left him. All three of them left him. So all the three thieves, after tying him down and beating him up, they left him there and they went away. After that, one of them came back. One of them came back and released him. Took him out of the boundary of the forest and let him go. And told him to go from the boundary. He told him to go to the village. So that businessman told him, "You are one of the nice person I met. At least you didn't give me any trouble. Plus, you have at least released me from this bondage. And I want to help you in some way I can. Please come with me to the village." He says to him, "No, I can't come. I am also one like them." Who is this Satogunam? Satogunam is a Satogunam. He says to him that, "I can't come because I am also a thief. Although I am a good thief, but I can't come with you because that is Satogunam." Satogunam, what it does is, slowly it will release us from the bondage. It will release from the bondage. Because Krishna mentions that, how Sattvat Sanjayade Jnanam. Remember in the last chapter? That is the slow release it is. Therefore, Sattvagunam is necessary. Sattvat Sanjayade Jnanam. That is the only benefit in the Sattvagunam. In Sattvagunam, Jnanam will develop. That is the advantage, benefit. Whereas in Rajogunam, Tamogunam, no hope, no chance. Only in Sattvagunam, knowledge will work. But again, Sattvagunam takes its own time to do that. So satyam, or so it will release us from the bondage. Rajogunam will bind us very strongly, and tamogunam will give you a lot of distress. This is the three thing ways it works. Sattvagunam will release you from the bondage. Rajogunam will bind you very strongly with the world, and tamogunam will give you a lot of distress. I think we don't have to explain this, isn't it? It's our own life. If you look at it, everybody goes through that. There's nothing spectacular about it, in the sense that every one of us, if we look back, when we discuss this chapter, we have to look into ourselves to know that how true all these things what Krishna has spoken. You can see yourself that how tamogunam has given us distress, rajogunam has bound us more and more, and sattvagunam has somewhat given us a little bit of relief from everything. So sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. So it is the tamogunam gives you a lot of distress, and tamogunam is the one which beats you very badly, smacks you both sides. But sattvagunam alone will not stay in anyone all the time. In anybody, it will not stay like that. Because that is why he is also considered to be a thief. Suppose he stays with you all the time, it's okay. But he does this thing, that he will not stay. He'll come and he'll go. You come and you'll go. So if you have some sattogunam, you've got to accept rajogunam and tamogunam with that. You just can't have only sattogunam. That is not possible. So at least a little bit of rajogunam and tamogunam must be there. Alone, only one gunam alone will not stay in anybody. In anyone. It will not stay like that. So some people will be sattoguna pradhani. That means they are mainly sattogunis. Some others will be rajoguna pradhani, and another group will be could be tamoguna pradhani. Pradhani means mainly that is the gunam in them. Although predominantly it is tamogunam in them, they will also have some sattogunam. Similarly, that is why sometimes you see some people, quite unexpectedly they will act in a nice way sometimes. And you will start thinking, oh, he is such a dirty character. How did he do such a nice thing? You may think like that. That's because there is a small amount of sattogunam in that person. Because this is the modes are playing all the time. And similarly, when you see some people sometimes who are very, we think that we are higher ups in the spiritual life, they go and do some nonsense. Why? Because there is some tamogunam also in the person. This is how the modes works all the time. This you can always experience in life, isn't it? Some people, unexpectedly, they do some things which is against their nature. We say like that, oh, it's completely against his nature to do like that. And you can also see about yourself, some, you may go and do some nonsense and you will say, I didn't know how I did that, why did I do that? You yourself regret about it later. This is all the modes of nature, how it works within. So, and tamogunam pradhani, you can see from their physical appearance itself, that tamogunam, how it operates within them. There is a science called Samudriya Shastram. Samudriya Shastram means looking at a person's physical form and explaining his nature, his gunam in that person. It is the Samudriya Shastram. They talk about a person, looking at a person's body, physical features, how the modes of nature is working in him. Because normally this Samudriya Shastram, there's books available on that. But if you start going into that, what will happen is that if you hear all that, you'll start looking at others. look at yourself, look at others, and seeing that, judging others. So, so that is why that is the problem with that Samudriya Shastram. So these three gunam, sattogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, that's what's operating all the time in us. All the time it's operating in us. And even though you're in mode of goodness, the other two can be there to some extent within us. So in one day itself, you can see how these three modes have changed in our day. Morning you were probably in sattogunam, by lunchtime very much in rajogunam, and by evening you could be in deep tamogunam. Is it not? You can try this, you go to work and come back and then you will see completely affected by the association, isn't it? So all this is not a philosophy, it's a daily experience. When you wake up in the morning, sometimes you have a good feeling of chanting the holy name, deity worship, Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam and things like that. And that brings you a kind of clarity inside, peace, shanti, all other things. That is all because of that sattogunam has woken up a little bit. And after a while, you will see that you feel a kind of restlessness altogether, and you feel like that you want to do something, or you get upset with someone, you want to fire somebody about something, you get upset. And why? That's all the indication of that's how the rajogunam has come and taken over by then. And so, and then later on, after a whole day, you feel sometimes very depressed, and don't know, you feel like nodding off and falling sleepy, and that's when you feel that tamogunam has come. That's a way to observe within ourselves. It's important to know within ourselves how the different gunam is coming. That's what Krishna mentioned in the last chapter. you remember? That he said that observe how each, don't try to fight against the gunam. Don't try to fight against the gunam, that will not work. What Krishna is saying there is that keep noticing that how the three modes are changing every time within ourselves. So that separation from the gunam happens in that way. This is the way to separate from the gunam. The moment you start observing, it means that you have separated from the gunam. That's what is the clear indication, isn't it? The moment you have started observing the presence of the gunam in us, it means that you have learned to separate from the gunam. You see? Just like chittavritti, thought waves. The moment you started looking at each thought wave when it comes, that means you have separated from the thought wave. Otherwise, you become the thought wave. Thought wave means any of the emotions, anger, hate, envy, pride. These are all thought waves that comes within us. If you identify with it, that means instead of separating out and seeing that, that such a thought has come to me, if you start acting with that thought wave, that means you identify with the thought wave. In the same way, modes of nature also, in the same way it happens. So, at different times, different modes of nature will become predominant. So, this you can see, for some time, meditation, you go on a, say, retreat, japa retreat or whatever, something like that, and you are living for few days together with some devotees, chanting, always chanting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and taking prasadam together, and discussing Krishna consciousness in that way. You felt very good, doing all that, self-sangam, and things like that. And then, after that you finished all that and you came home, got back to your usual business. And you can see there that you feel that after a few days you have lost everything, what you got. Those days when you were there, in the association with the devotees, discussing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and in the Salsangam, what you got, and also Japam, Dhyanam, Bhakti, all that, Shraddha, everything, you feel after a while, you left the association of the devotees, you went, traveled somewhere else for some other business, something, and you are living away from everything for a few days, you went on a business, and then you will start noticing within yourself that that happiness and the shanti what you had while in Salsangam, everything has disappeared. It's not coming back. So, and the mind becomes, looks very dull and empty altogether. So, when you can see at that time, that Rajogunam and Tamogunam has come back to you. Rajogunam and Tamogunam has come back to you. But they will also won't stay. They also won't stay. And when one comes in, the other one will leave. When this comes in, this will go back. That's how it is. When Satogunam comes back, Rajogunam will leave. Or when Rajogunam comes back, Satogunam will leave. This is how it is working all the time. This you have to observe within yourself. Especially those who are, who are not totally absorbed in spiritual life, but householder life, for example. You are sometimes hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, but sometimes due to various family affairs or whatever, you get pulled into all sorts of things in life, isn't it? So at that time you can see a few days associating with others to meet all their needs and try to keep some peace inside. You'll be always thinking inside, oh, it's only for another 2 days or 3 days, it'll be finished and gone. That you can see at that time that due to that association, that Rajoguna and Tamoguna has come and taken over. And that time, all that shanti inside has gone. Or the peace or whatever you felt inside, or the happiness, that's all gone. But Rajogunam, Tamogunam has taken over. So these three gunam, Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, will keep coming and going, coming and going. So therefore, what is the solution then, if it is like that? The solution is that to take shelter of Satogunam when it comes. When it comes, take the shelter of Satogunam and try to improve the Satogunam when it comes. Because you cannot stay in Satogunam alone. That is not possible. But when Satogunam comes, the benefit of Sattvagunam is, in Sattvagunam, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam will have a direct impact. It will go deeper inside. That is the advantage of Sattvagunam. So when Sattvagunam comes, you should take to spiritual life seriously. That is the process. That's the process. When Sattvagunam comes, take spiritual life as serious as possible. Instead of thinking that I'm feeling happy now, and I'll refrain from everything else and be inside, because Sattvagunam brings that problem, gives you a certain kind of happiness, and you feel satisfied in life. But that satisfaction has no meaning, because it's the presence, rise of Sattvagunam inside. So when Sattvagunam comes, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, and sadhana, bhakti, jnanam, shraddha, all these things, that is the right time for that. Right time for that. So, and if it continues like that, one day you will transcend the three gunam. Transcend the three, go start, you have to go further than the three modes afterwards, isn't it? So Arjuna asked this question in the last chapter, do you remember? That, how does he look like when he has transcended all the three modes? And what is his symptoms? Arjuna asked that question, Kairlinge. He says, so, because what is the symptom of a person? Kailingen Trin Gunan. If you look into that, 21. Kairling, Arjuna Vancha, Kairlingin Trin Gunan Etan, Atido Bhavadi Prabho, Kim Achara Katam Chaitan, Trin Gunan Adivartate. That was the Arjuna's question, isn't it? So he asked this question, what is the symptom of a person who has transcended the three modes and how to transcend? This was the question, isn't it? Go beyond. Krishna gave a beautiful reply in the next verse. That was Krishna's explanations. Instead of saying Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, he said Prakashancha, Pravurtincha, Mohamevacha, Pandava. He says like that, isn't it? Na dveshti sarvabhutani na nivruttani kamkshati. That was Krishna's reply. That words are much better than Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, because they directly represent that nature of the person. Prakashancha, Pravurtincha, Mohamevacha, Pandava. He says, Krishna says, Arjuna, he says, if you look into him, that you look into that person, Prakasham will be there. Prakasham means in his body, there will be that illumination. That illumination will not be noticed by a person in Tamogunam or Rajogunam. It will be only noticed by someone in Sattvagunam. Prakashancha, Pravurtincha. And so that Prakasham, if you look in his eyes, there will be a happiness in that person's eyes. You will see that Prakasham in him, in the person. And that's that symptom of that Sattvagunam waking up inside. Sattvagunam waking up inside. In his eyes, in his whole body, you will notice that. The presence of that Sattvagunam. And Rajogunam, if it is coming out, straight away Krishna puts the word, he'll be a workaholic. Pravritti, isn't it? Prakashancha, Pravrittincha. You can see this yourself if you look at people. Some people are like that, isn't it? Pravritti. Work is so important and they cannot do anything about it. Prakashancha, Pravartincha. And one minute they will find it very difficult to sit down. That Rajogunam pushing them all the time. And Tamogunam, Moham, Krishna says, Prakashancha, Pravartincha, Moham evacha Pandava. Moham means Ajnanam, Avidya. Avidya means bodily identification, Sharira Abhimanam. I am this body, they are completely in that concept, living like that. I am this body. they'll be trying to build up the body and doing all sorts of things because they know only that, nothing. No identification with the soul, no identification with the mind or intelligence even, rather total identification with the body will happen to that person. Sharira Abhimanam. In other words, their intelligence is very sthulam, very gross. Gross intelligence. You can notice yourself, when your intelligence becomes finer, how the finer thoughts develops. And when intelligence becomes very gross, bodily identity, all kind of depression, everything comes from that. So this is all symptoms of tamogunam. And it's no point in talking to them Vedantam. It will not work. So you know this Rajusarpa example in the Bhagavatam, snake and the rope. It's a famous example in the Vedantam. They give it as a good example. It is in the Bhagavatam three places at least. Rajusarpa spoken about that. So somebody was talking about this example to a person in tamogunam. So what happened was that what has happened is that the rope was mistaken as a snake. Somebody brought the light and showed the rope to him. And then he understood that there is no snake, it's only rope. So this person in tamogunam, he heard everything and he says to him, "Ah, now I understood," he said. "Brahma means a rope, is it?" He said. That is how tamogunam works. Tamogunam works like that. So, moham means he won't get it. He heard everything and Rajasarpam and comparison, but the way he understood was like this, isn't it? So, these three gunam, sattugunam, rajogunam, one who has transcended this is called Gunadidan. Krishna mentions that Gunadidan there, isn't it? Gunadidan symptoms Krishna has spoken there. He has learned how to stay away from the mind. That is the greatest success for him. How to stay away from the mind, which is necessary. How to stay away from the mind. That is the first symptom of that person. Suddenly you can experience yourself in life, the mind creates problem. Mind tells you, "Oh, I should be doing that. Why am I doing this?" And it will bring that force, is so powerful from inside that you will get up straight away from where you're sitting and starts the planning. That is a symptom of that Rajogunam. Rajogunam's symptom. In other words, he has not learned how to stay out of the mind. How to stay out of the mind. So, to control the mind, what is the first step? First step to see the mind is to look at the chitavati, thought waves. This is all very practical things, what is being practiced by those who are advancing in the spiritual path. Only thing is, they may not go out and make a big propaganda out of it, but they know once this inquiry begins, and if you accept Krishna's statements in the Bhagavad Gita totally, then you've got to go this way. There's no other shortcut to that. So this chittavritti inside, thought waves that comes inside, if we start learning how to observe them, how these thought waves are coming. So sometimes you can see when two people are having some disagreement and there is one is upset, and he'll say to the other, "Don't talk anymore, I'm getting angry," he will say. Sometimes people say like that, isn't it? So that means you know that you are getting angry. It's on its way, isn't it? So, and it's at that time that it is coming out, isn't it? But once it has come, then it's finished. Then it is like Lord Shiva's dance. you can't do anything about it. You have lost the control. But before that, once it has come out, then the bomb is gone. The bomb was blasted. So, and you may do something after that. Before that happens, just like you see this mic, you have to see that every thought wave, when it comes inside, you got to learn to move away from that thought wave and see the thought wave that is coming inside. So that sakshi business, witness business, to observe the thought waves that is coming inside. And that once that has come, Krishna says here, later on you will start seeing that between two different thought waves, that presence of Atma, Krishna's presence inside, and you will become your conscious of that. First of all, you have to look at the thought wave separately. If you have developed that understanding and if you have developed that habit of looking at each thought wave, then slowly you will start seeing that gap between the two thought waves. So every time when a thought wave comes, you have to ask this question. This is the best process, that who is having this thought wave? Who is experiencing this? Just like best time is when you get distress in life. When a lot of distress is coming, you have to ask the question, who is having this distress? Who is having this distress? It is at that time you will see that the false ego was the one which was causing the problem. It is not the fault of the world. It's my own false ego inside that was causing the distress. So, so when you get angry, you want to retaliate or give back, or you want to speak something in return. So it is at that time you have to withdraw from the world. If you're getting angry, go into room and lock the door and sit there quietly. But sometimes even that's not possible because by then the things have gone out of control. And the other person with whom you got angry, if he's also angry or she's also angry, then the war has to happen. There's nothing you can do about that. But it is something worthwhile thinking, because generally what we do when we get angry, either we will express it or we will suppress it, isn't it? Either we will express it or we will suppress it. Both are bad. Both are bad. If you express it, it will give trouble to others. If you suppress it, it is destroying yourself from both things, isn't it? So, just like you can see, some people, they are very good in suppressing things. They will keep to themselves, suppress inside. But then they will get an upset stomach, because this emotion has gone inside and destroyed the food what you have taken. So things like that. So therefore it will spoil your food, spoil your poison, your blood, everything. So therefore, what do we have to do? They give the example in the Bhagavatam, like Lord Shiva. He took the poison, he didn't allow it to go inside, he took it inside and he kept it in the throat. That art. That is the art. So, when the thought waves comes, you have to ask this question, who is experiencing these thought waves? Who is experiencing these thought waves? Not to give importance to the thought wave, that is the most important thing. Not to give importance to the thought wave. So, thought waves are the mind. Mind is nothing but the thought waves. There is no separate thing called the mind. It's the thought waves that creates the mind. So who is experiencing these thought waves? I'm having the thought waves. So it is the movement of that aham bhakti. It is a very, in the Jnana Margam, they have analyzed these things to such fineness that, for example, ahangaram, false ego, right? Ahangaram is jiva bhavam. Jiva's nature is that ahangaram. Now, we have a lot of people say, you have to be humble. You should give up your ahangaram, destroy your ahangaram. People say like that, isn't it? Ahangaram cannot be given up. It will not leave. What is ahangaram at the end? Ahangaram is nothing but Atma put a different dress and has come. It is a real thing it is. It's only the dress that makes it ahangaram. The vastu inside that ahangaram is a real thing. That's the important point. Eh? Atma, the soul, its another power is ahangaram. The soul takes different dresses. When it takes this ego dress, we call it ahangaram. But the person inside that ego is real. You cannot give up. You cannot destroy him. But it is the dress that you have to destroy, not the person inside that you can't destroy. Because people say this all the time, ahangaram has to be given up, you have to be humble, you have to become People always ask that question, isn't it? They are running courses even now, how to become humble. It's not a waste of time. It will not work. It cannot work. Because who is this ahankaram? Ahankaram is your own soul taking a dress and coming out in that way. It's only the dress that he has put on. And that is why it's a false thing. Once you remove that dress, then it's gone. But therefore, what says here, that in the same way, mind is also same thing. Mind, ahankaram, intelligence, they are all one thing in different roles. So who is experiencing this chittavritti? I am experiencing that. It is a movement of the ahamvritti. Ahamvritti is the real thing. Ahamvritti, ahambodham, in other words, anandam, avabodham, this is all the nature of that ahamvritti, isn't it? So what is happening here is ahankaram or false ego is mixed up with so many other things and lying together there inside. Ahankaram is there and then so many other vasanas also. They're all mixed up together and it's lying there. So mind is like a cloth. Mind is like a cloth. And in that mind, ahankaram is one aspect of that mind. One aspect of the mind. So it is all mixed up together. Like now, right now, if you look at ourselves, what are we? We are a mixture of the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, all together mixed up. That's what we are today, isn't it? And we are trying to break it up, all of them. So it is in this situation these thought waves are coming. And what is the nature of that thought wave? If you give an attention to that, that immediately if you start asking this question, who is experiencing this false ego, you can see that it will go and destroy itself. It will not come up again from where it has come about. Because only when you are, if you are asking that question, it means that you have identified the problem. Otherwise we won't know it, isn't it? Ahankaram comes, we won't know it, that you are acting in false ego. But false ego will disappear if you ask the question that who is experiencing this false ego. So that way that energy will be conserved. That is the way to conserve that energy. Otherwise that energy will be lost. If you suppress it, you will lose the energy. If you express it, you will lose the energy. But by asking this question that who is experiencing this ahankaram, you can see that immediately within yourself you will feel a big relief. Because you are not the false ego and you know that, and therefore you are not identifying with the false ego. The moment you identify with the false ego, you get trapped in that energy. So so this thing is called nyasam. I don't know whether you heard this word nyasam. Nyasam is this, that everything bringing it down and making it to dissolve itself inside. All our emotions, anger and all other things, allowing that to come and dissolving it inside. There is so many technical things. This is a part of that. Laghunyasam, Mahanyasam, so many things you will find there. This Laghunyasam, if you look into Narayana Kavacham, you will see Nyasam spoken there. Never we talk about that, do we? Then Narayana Kavacham will work better with the Nyasam. If you practice that Narayana Kavacham, you will see there in the 6th canto, when Narayana Kavacham was spoken, seventh verse. In the fourth verse it begins, Daudhangri panira chamyam sapavitra udang mukhaha kridaswanga karanyasam mandrabhyam vagyada shuchi. Talks about karanyasam there. Karanyasam. Then in the sixth verse, sorry, in the seventh verse, karanyasam tadakuryal dvadashakshara vidyayaha pranavadiyaka anandam mangalyam angushta parvaso. Then nese dhridayam omkaram vikaram animurdhani Shakaram to Bhruvor Madhye Nagaram Shikhaya Dishay. So you can see performing Nyasam before Narayana Kavacham, performing Nyasam. If you want to know about Nyasam, there is a book available about Nyasam. How to do the Nyasam becomes more and more technical. Karan Nyasam, Laghu Nyasam, all Nyasams discussed in one book you can get on its own. If you want to go in that way. But one thing is that Nyasam, what is that Nyasam? Basically what the Nyasam does is that every thought wave that comes, you bring it in and ask the question, who is experiencing it? And eventually you will see that particular powerful thought that has come, it goes and dissolves itself in the place where it came from. Without disturbing you, it has gone, in other words. By doing this Nyasam, what happens? You become in the Shanti state. No thought waves are disturbing you. When that happens, Narayana Kavacham, if you chant, that knowledge will work. That knowledge will work. We talked about Narayana Kavacham before, isn't it? That? So there, you can see all are connected each other. Nyasam is performed, Narayana Kavacham you chant. The state of consciousness while chanting Narayana Kavacham is more important than the Narayana Kavacham itself. In the right consciousness, when there is no thought waves coming, and before the thought waves won't stop straight away, so you have to make it stop, happen. How to stop the thought waves? For that purpose, Karanyasam is spoken. What is spoken there? Karanyasam, Leghunyasam, Mahanyasam, so many Nyasams there. You can buy that book and read it through, and that will tell you what the differences are. Or in the web also, it's there, I think. So, withdrawing. Agdirmevaya shadaka vakrdayam mai aham amrda brahmani. Upanishad says that withdrawing slowly from the world. Withdrawing slowly from the world. That means all the emotions that comes, learning them, how to keep them in the senses only, not to allow the emotions to go further from there. And then keep the senses in the mind. That means how fine control you have to have inside. That's what it is talking about. And keeping the emotions in the senses, senses in the mind, mind in the heart, mind in the heart. And from the heart, taking everything to your own swarupam. Your own swarupam. That is that process, swarupam. So in swarupam, everything is offered. Swarupam can take everything. Swarupam, because it finishes there. Swarupam is never touched by any of these things. That's the important thing. So, that is called what Krishna says, to remain as a witness, Sakshi. That's what it is. Sakshi does not mean that, like the court case, you go as a witness. Not like that witness. Here, Sakshi Bhava means this. That bringing all emotions that's coming in us, able to take it and at the same time able to offer it in the self and remain separately from everything. Not with the mind, but unaffected by the thought waves that's coming inside. So to observe everything like that, when three modes of nature are coming in the same way, you're observing them, they're coming and their departure also. Coming and the activity is what it does through us. Always as a witness. And that state is what Krishna has spoken there. Which one? Prakashancha pravurtincha mohamevacha pandava. Adnadveshti sampravurtani nanivurtani kangshadi. That verse is very important because Krishna is explaining to us the subtlety of it. That nadveshti sampravurtani. Nadveshti means you don't get upset when the lower modes of nature comes. Or you don't feel happy when the higher modes of nature comes. When Satogunam comes, you don't get happy. When Rajogunam comes, you don't get upset. When Tamogunam comes also, you don't get distressed over it. At the same time, they'll come and they will act na dveshti, no dvesham, hate in other words. No hate towards the gunam. Sam pravurtani na nivurtani kankshari. You don't think that you have to do anything about it. That's another understanding. Sampravurtani. You are thinking that. Na nivurtani. You are not even concerned whether it comes or goes. Na nivurtani kamshari. If it comes, you are not concerned. If it goes, you are not bothered. That kind of separation from the guna. That's what Krishna is saying like that. So you can see how when sattuguna comes, dhyanam, meditation, bhakti, shraddha, salsangam, all this interest in all these things, it comes from that sattuguna. And only problem is that you can get attached there also. You can get attached there. And then you will think next day also, is it going to come in the same way like yesterday? So that is called rasa aswadanam. Enjoying that happiness of the sattuguna. That is not good. Enjoying the happiness of the sattuguna is not good. So when sattuguna, to such an extent, learning to separate yourself from the effect of all this modes of nature. So because rasa aswadanam means in tasting the rasam, isn't it? You can see sometimes you had a good harinam, or you went on a nice bhajan or something like that. You enjoyed it very much. And then you went home, next day there is no program. And you are thinking, oh, what a boring day today, there is nothing to do now. Yesterday, and you start thinking, yesterday I felt very good, today I am not feeling good. So this is rasaswadanam. Rasaswadanam means that tasting something and enjoying it. And when you don't get it, feeling depressed about it. So sattugunam also, you can get, start sticking to it. Start sticking to sattugunam also. And when you get stuck with sattugunam, when you lose it, you feeling depressed. Virahadavam, it's called. That means you feeling depressed or sattugunam has gone. I'm not feeling so good today. This you have to observe within yourself all the time. Then you will get it. You will know what is happening then. One day you are feeling very good. It's so good that you feel like reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting and doing deity worship, so many things. Another day you are cursing and doing the deity worship. Is it not? It happens to pujaris. If you look, you will see in them this manifesting. So you'll do, oh, I have to do this, what can I do? In that mood. Executing. Not that all the time all pujaris are 100% in sattuguna. Don't think like that. It's not possible. It comes and goes in everyone. It comes and goes. And this will happen to everybody. Sattugunam, everybody wants it because why? Sattugunam gives you happiness. That's the reason behind it. So Krishna says here that samadukha subha swastam samaloshtashma kanchana tulya priya apriyo dhira tulya nindatma samstuti. In that same three verses, udasino udasino unair yona vijayade guna vartanda mithyeva yova tishtandi nyankade. Same way Krishna is saying there that sukha sangeeta bhadrani, sukha sangeeta bhadrani, that means sukham, what it does is sattuguna makes it wonder, makes it think like this, that again and again you want it, sattuguna. Whereas with rajogunam and tamogunam, that won't happen. It won't happen. That I want more rajogunam or I want more tamogunam, that won't happen. With sattugunam, you will feel I want it again. That's the main problem with sattugunam. So, and because that desire is there, that I want to have it, it will leave you. Because of that, it will leave you. Because if you want it, it will, you know, say, some people may like to have some rajogunam sometimes. And some others will say, sometimes you say, I don't want tamogunam at any case, isn't it? So, the person who has transcended the three modes, what does he do? He always remain as a witness. And when sattugunam comes, he is not attached to it. When rajogunam or tamogunam comes, he is not disturbed over it, nor he hates them. He doesn't hate the rajogunam or tamogunam. That is what he says here. Na dveshti sampravurtani, na nivurtani kankshati. We have to, these things, the only thing you can do is to accept it. Because the person who has created the three gunam is telling us, So where else can you get it from? From your research work you won't get it. This will only get it if you accept what Krishna is saying there. Because he is the person who has created all these things. So he knows how to, what is to be done with them. So that's what he's saying here. That satunam, rajogunam, and always remain as a witness. That is what that verse is saying. Prakashancha, pravurtincha, mohamevaja, pandava. Not dveshti, sampravurtani, nanvurtani kamshadi. That is that witness stage. So, and how? Always remaining aloof from everything. And this process we will see later in this chapter. It is coming in the 15th chapter. So, without allowing the modes of nature to take control over us, it can control my body, it will control my mind, intelligence and all that, but it cannot control me. That separation, that's what's necessary. When we keep saying, oh, modes have taken over, means modes have taken over my body, or modes have taken over my mind, but modes have not taken over me, because Krishna says very clearly, modes cannot touch you anywhere. Isn't it? So, if this is practiced, Krishna is saying, this: if you don't allow to be trapped in the control of the modes, yourself, on your own, then this mode's power on you will start weakening up. It will start getting weakened. This is the way it works. The modes will start slowly withdrawing from us, from the body, mind and other places. So, now particularly with the mind, because that is the mind is the main place where it is happening, isn't it? So, and when the modes themselves are becoming withdrawing slowly, at that time your state is called Udasina. See that word Krishna uses there? Udasina vadasino. Gunair yo no vichalyate. Guna vartanda mithyeva yo tishtanti nengade. That Udasina state. This is that witness state. Udasina, not bothered what happens. Let the modes come and go. This means that you've got to be observing yourself all the time, carefully, what's happening in us. That attention, Shraddha has to be inside, not in the world outside, within us, if you want to get free from these modes of nature. So, let happiness come or distress comes, still for a Udasina, he will be equal to both. When happiness comes or distress comes, he will still be equal to that. Udasina. Udasina will be equal. Samabhava, isn't it? And that is what Krishna calls it as samatvam yogamuchyate. That samabhavam is yoga state. Krishna says that in the 6th chapter. Samatvam yogamuchyate, he says there. So, when he wins or loses, or when he gets something or loses, samaloshtashma kanchana, Krishna mentions there. Isn't it? Samadukka sukha swastha samaloshtashma kanchana. Samaloshtashma kanchana. Whether it is a stone, piece of stone, or it's gold, equal to both, isn't it? Manam avamanam, he says. Samaloshtashma kanchana. Tulya priya apriyo dhira. Tulya ninda stu samstudhi. Nindatma samstudhi. Which we have discussed before. Manam, avamanam, praise and insult, samabhava, equality. This samatvam, Krishna says, is yogasthiti, that is yoga state. And you may ask the question, will it all happen to us? All these things, you have to try. That's all you can say about it. Krishna is saying, try, and if it didn't happen, Krishna says, if it didn't happen, that Krishna is saying here, when the three modes are coming, at least remain as a witness. Remain as a witness. If you say that, if I couldn't do it, then what should I do? If you ask that question, then the answer Krishna said in the next verse. What is that? Mamchayo vibhijarena bhakti yogena sevita. Sabanan samati tedan brahma bhuyaya kalpade. That verse we have seen. Last Sunday or so. So, Manchiyo Vibhijarena, Krishna says it is possible that with your own effort, these three modes of nature, you should try to transcend them. But if alone it is difficult for you, then Because only up to a limit you can do that. Up to a limit you can try. But you should try. That's the principle. You know what the problem in spiritual life is? Spiritual life main problem is, when you hear so many things what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna and Uddhava, the mind will tell you from inside, it's not possible. It's not possible. And if you keep on developing this attitude, it's not possible, it's not possible, that will become a vasana inside. And that vasana will get strengthened. Then to get rid of that vasana, another 10 times you'll have to take birth. To get rid of that vasana from inside. Because that is a vasana it is. That Krishna is saying something to us, and every time our approach is negative, saying that, oh, it's not possible, it's not possible. Everything negative, negative, negative. That will become a very strong vasana. To get rid of that vasana, another 10 lifetimes you will need. This will be the result of that. So that is why, because that is the way it works. Krishna is not going to wait for so long for us that to get rid of all our vasanas to that extent, that from our side if there is no cooperation. Krishna is saying so many things. We may not be able to do it today or tomorrow, but the effort should never be given up. It should always be very focused on that. Krishna's words are ultimate. That faith in the Shastram, faith and Shraddha in what Krishna has given and accepting it without questioning it, that is necessary in us for spiritual life. So, Krishna is saying here that up to a limit you can try, it will be possible. After that limit, still that what will happen is, the problem here is that you may develop this witness mood a lot, but still that person who is witnessing will come up. That is also ahankaram. You see that how complex that is? Ahamkriti. Ahamkriti, vyaktibhodam or personality will be there. He won't go. That is where the problem is. Because when you are saying in this verse, what Krishna is saying here, that nadveshti sambravrtani nanavrtani kankshadi, udasino adasino, all that is nice. So up to that point, a lot of effort, you can get to that state. But you won't be able to completely get over that. Why? Because the personality will be still there. Personality who is remaining as a witness is still there. Personality has not gone, isn't it? He is still there. That is what he is saying there. That therefore, that is personality. Vyaktibhodham it is, isn't it? So what will you do? In order that to come out of that personality awareness, you have only one thing you can do, completely to surrender at that time to Sharanagadi. That is the solution to that problem. There is no other solution. Surrender to Krishna there. Antaryami inside. Now you can do what you like. I can't do anything more than that. With your personal effort, you can come out a lot from these three modes. That is what he is saying there. That prakashancha, pravrtincha, mohamevacha, pandava. By knowing all these things, to a large extent you can control these things. To a large extent. Up to a limit. But not completely. That's not possible. Why? Because udasinam adasinam gunaryona vichariyade guna vartandam ityeva yoma tishtanti nengade. All these things won't happen overnight. Set your head everything and tomorrow morning after doing your shopping and everything you think that, no, let me do all these things. No, it won't work like that. It will require long term practice this is. But we have to start somewhere, isn't it? And don't think that, oh, because it's not going to happen today and tomorrow, it's no point in following it through. These are, Krishna is telling us the ways how to proceed on this. If you practice it, depending on how much you practice, all these different tips Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita is only a tip to tell us that if you do all these things, you will come into the line, proper way, you will keep going. And you keep on going, but at some point, your personality, ahankaram inside, that's the most difficult thing to get rid of. That's very difficult. Because if you ask the question also, that who is going to remain as udasinan? that person is there, vyaktibhodam, personality is still there. He won't go very easily from inside. That is when Sharanagari Bhakti comes. And that is why Krishna said the next verse, you can see, Mamchiyo Vyabhijarena Bhakti Yogena Sevita. So you can see how Krishna has put that verse. After saying all these things, then Krishna knew that it's not going to be, perfection won't happen in that. So therefore, after this, surrender. That's the way. But if you can surrender to Krishna from the day one, then all problems are solved. But that's not going to happen, isn't it? Mind won't allow. That man inside, he will bring so many blocks. He will say, what are you wasting your time? One question has to come from inside, everything is finished. There will be no surrender, there will be no chanting, there will be no Bhagavadam, nothing. Everything will stop. So that is why it is mentioned like that, that ultimately, Sharanagati, Vamchayo, that is what it says here. Vamchayo, avyabhijarena bhakti. That is important. Avyabhijarena bhakti yogena sevita. If you do that, sagunan, samadityaidan, brahma bhuyaya kalpade. Then you are released. You will be released from, and brahmam realization will happen at that time. That is the way it operates. So, if you do that, he says, Krishna says, Brahma Buddhaya means Trigunatita state. You have transcended the three modes of nature or situated in your spiritual identity, Surubhasthiti. And that means you have transcended all distress of this world. Three kinds of distress, Adhyatma, Adhibaudhigam, Adhidevigam. And all self-realized state, Brahma Bhuyaya. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade means, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade means not knowing Brahmam, but to become Brahmam, which is different. Not knowing Brahmam, but to become Brahmam. We think normally, we'll know Brahmam then, isn't it? No, not knowing Brahmam, you become Brahmam. That is why it said, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. Bhuyaya means you become that. You become Brahmam. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. You are not anymore Jiva. You are Brahmam. After that, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. Because you cannot know Brahmam and remain separate from Brahmam. That's not possible. You cannot know Brahmam and remain separate from Brahmam. Just like natural way, the river goes to the ocean and gets dissolved in the ocean. Then there is no more river left after that. Isn't it? Mundaka Upanishad says that very clearly. It says there that in the, you will see there, Yada Nadya Syandhyamana Samudre. Just like the rivers goes to Samudram, to the ocean. Stam gachandi nama rupe vihaya. After getting there, its namam rupam has gone. Name and form has gone. Nama rupam vihaya. Stam gachandi nama rupe vihaya. You see, everything we look at in this world, it is nama rupam. Is it not? Nama rupam it is. A person has a name and he has a form. If you take the name and form away from that person, what's left? Pure consciousness. That's what remains there. Isn't it? River also. Say for example, Ganga River or any river for that matter. When it flows in the land, you give it a name and a form. We say, okay, Thames River. Thames River, name Thames River. And we say Thames River is so much wide and so long. It flows for so many kilometers or whatever it is we say. But once Thames River reaches the ocean, where is Thames River? It's disappeared, is it not? In the same way, Yada Nadya Sandamane Samudre Stam Gachandi Nama Rube Vihaya. Namam and Rubam has gone completely. Tatta Vidwan Nama Rudwad Vimukta Paratparam Purusham Ubedi Divyam. Similarly, Tatta Vidwan, Vidwan means one who has realized the self, that person. Namarubad vimuktaha. He got released from his namarubam. Name and form he has finished. Paralparam purusham upaiti divyam. He has reached that parama purusham brahma. In other words, paralparam purusham upaiti divyam. That pure divine form he has got back as brahmam, has come back to him. That is why it says here that that once he has, the river has reached the ocean, there is only ocean. There is no river after that. Similarly, you can see there that once those who have realized that state, who has come to that state of self-realization, for them, they are absorbed in that Krishna's form. Or Krishna's form means that spiritual form, spiritual existence, awareness. In that they get absorbed completely. And once they are absorbed there, that that truth, that akhandam, Krishna is unbroken truth. I am that, that awareness. I am that Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. State comes to him. And in that state, he may still have this body. That awareness can happen even when you are in this body. And if that has happened there, later on, what will happen to him is that if this Brahman realization happens to him while he is within this body, if it happens when he has got the body, then that means he has his personality has gone. His personality has gone. Same thing Krishna has spoken in many places in different ways. It's the same repetition of the same thing. Namarupam is our identity card. Namarupam, isn't it? Passport is nothing but Namarupam, is it not? Little bit more details they have put on to that with the finger tips or whatever, the date of birth and the father's name or passport office was. It's nothing but all it can do is about Namarupam, isn't it? You cannot create passport for ourselves. You can't have a passport. Passport is for the body. And completely based on the body is the passport. So Namarupam, that is. Once the Namarupam has gone, we come to our own pure identity as the self. That self-identity is what Krishna is talking about. He says you get dissolved in that truth. That is the state what Bhagavatam is talking about. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam vinimana tosmi. Shiva Brahmarshi state. Is it not? So, but while having the body itself, you can get that state. Because it's not happening to the body, it's happening to the consciousness. This thing is happening. Its connection with the Namarupam has broken. Consciousness, connection with the Namarupam has broken. Consciousness has got merged with the Supreme Consciousness. That's what has happened at that time. So when that happens, this Ahamkriti inside goes away. Which Ahamkriti? Which Krishna mentioned here? That Udasinava Dasinam. At that time, Ahamkriti is still there. Ahangaram is still there. But that Ahangaram will go at that point. At that point. So here, this is the same thing. When realized souls, they are in this world. If you look outside, we will say, what's the difference between them and us? He has got two hands, I got two hands. He has got two legs, I got two legs. He has got two eyes, I got two eyes. Everything is the same. So why so much to talk about them? What's the difference? If you ask the question, that if you look at from outside, they are same like us. But nobody will be able to understand what has happened inside them. So that people who know this, how to understand that they are in that state, they are very, very rare, isn't it? So this has happened to many, many realized personalities. If you look at them, this has happened like that to them in their life. Instantaneously, it has happened to many, many people. Many, many people. Due to the previous lifetimes, they must have done that necessary austerity, sadhanas, everything what was necessary happened later. Then, a lot of people may acknowledge this. If you read their books, you will see what has happened to them. In the case of Ramana Maharshi mentions this, what has happened to him. He said, I never heard about Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, anything in my life before he when he left home. And he mentions there that at one point that he felt that while he was staying at home one day when he was 15 or 16 years old, that suddenly he felt that I am going to die. A fear came to him. And he never felt like asking anyone about it. And he never had any disease in the body. And still, at the age of 16, he felt that I am going to die. He felt like that. And a fear came into him, a very powerful fear developed inside. And what he did was, he closed the door of the room and went and lie down in a bed. He was lying there. And he has, and he says this, I never even heard about Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads at that time. At that time he has not heard about that. Not even heard the word Brahman, he says. And he, only he realized it very strongly at that point that I am going to die. That a thought came like this inside. And then he just lying there, he thought, what will I do? What will happen now? They'll take this body, take it to the cemetery, and they will burn this body. They'll burn this body. So he started thinking that when this body is destroyed, is that the end of me? He asked this question himself. Is that the end of me? Is that finished everything? That's how he queried this question and came up to him. And so at that time, he says there, completely separate from the body, from inside, he was able to experience that aham vritti. Aham vritti inside started coming out. That this aham vritti's nature is like that. It is not possible to capture with the mind. It is an experience, it is. So at that point in time, Maharshi says that he experienced this aham vritti inside. And aham vritti, when he says that, what they call, Ajari Swamiji mentions in the commentary as spurana. Spurana means it's a kind of a experience from inside, aham, 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 that experience that I exist inside. Antaryami is speaking from inside. So he realizes that they can burn the body, but that thing they won't be able to burn. This awareness inside, how can they burn? So my existence is all depending on that awareness, not based on this body. This strong conviction from inside started coming out. It's there in everyone. It's just a question of waking that up inside. And that's what has happened to him. At that point, he mentions that. And he started deep inquiry at that point. It was that time that he decided to then leave home and walk away from there. Because that is the very nature of that inquiry. When that inquiry wakes up inside strongly, nobody will be able to hold you back. You won't be making any more plans in this world. Today we have to go on a pilgrimage. We'll make a lot of plans, won't we? First booking the ticket, accommodation, prasadam, everything organized we go. But when this way it happened to Ramana Maharshi, what he says there, that I didn't think anymore, anything about it, because I understood that I have nothing to do with this body. And I left. Didn't care anything about the future. What, no arrangements were made, walked out of the house. That is the power of that waking up inside. This has happened not only to him, many, many other great personalities. If you look back and read through Vivekananda, so many others will talk about this. So, with that waking up inside, he says, my fear of death has left me once for all. That there is no such thing called a death. This is that realization, isn't it? So, just like that you can see that the sometimes a certain metal can be changed into gold through the chemical process and all that. Similarly, certain worms can turn into butterfly, and or certain kidam bramaram call it in the shastram. So similarly, in 10-15 minutes time, his personality or vyakti, aham, that vyakti bodham, aham karam, that is completely left. Ahamkaram has gone. Aham bodham has woken up. And he realized that is the pure chidvastu, chit-shakti. That is what is woken up inside. Obviously, that vastu, what he mentions is unlimited bodham, pure awareness that is, isn't it? And this thing, what has happened, was unknown to his own intelligence. Intelligence didn't know how to understand this, nor the mind could understand anything. But what has actually happened after this, for 1.5 months, it took a while for him to leave home. He is still going to school at that time, and he was going to school, but the person has changed once it has woken up inside. He says, I did not perform any austerities or penances, And when I kept my eyes closed because of this waking up inside, he said, some people said, I'm doing meditation. And some people said that because I was not talking to anybody, I stopped talking to others. And therefore they said, I am a Mauni. And somebody else said that I did not perform any kind of penances and nothing has happened. But others started taking that I am engaged in some kind of austerities or penances, and then he leaves home and come to Tirunelveli temple and he spent the rest of his time there. But when once this has happened to him, he lost his interest to school, go to school, to study anything, no taste for anything. How can you be interested when the self wakes up from inside to get interested in the material subjects of school and college and all that? Becomes pretty difficult for them, isn't it? So this anubhuti, if that starts working inside, then nobody can pull it back. It's gone. You're gone completely out of the body. You're gone out. But body will remain still because of the prarabdha. Body still remain. After that, 54 years that body had to stay in this world. But the person was not there in the body anymore. So, and he says there, after this, to get the mind back, coming back to work again, for the mind, it was very difficult to mind to operate again. We are finding it difficult to come out of the mind, isn't it? And he was saying that it was difficult for the mind to get involved in anything. So, and there is no effort to control the mind or anything like that. And even if I wanted to move, allow the mind to operate, he says it could not operate. Because inside that, that spurti, bodha spurti, aware. Spurti means that spurana, from inside of bodham, awareness. And the same thing you will see in the Viveka Chudamani, Acharya Swamiji mentions that, how that happens. If you look at it, you will see there. One thing is, in Viveka Chudamani, all this is explained in more detail. But Maharshi's case, it was an experience of the practical life, what happened to him. Kimapi, 408 verse. Kimapi satata bhodam keval ananda rupam. Nirupamam ativelam nitya yuktam niriham. Niravadi gaganabham nushkalam nurvigalpam. Kudi kalayadi vidvan brahma purnam samadhau. Kimapi satata bhodam keval ananda rupam. The wise person, what happens to him is always he is in the awareness stage. He is not on the mental platform. Always in the awareness level. We are always in the mental level, isn't it? Sometimes we will say, oh, he is very mental, we will say. But we are also in the mental only. We are not gone out of the mind. We say about others, isn't it? Oh, he is very mental. He has got mental problems. And so, I have no problems. I have got the same mental problems what he has got. So, unless you come to bodham, bodharyogam. That's what he's saying here. Kimabhi sadada bodham. Always in the bodham, awareness. Keval anandaryogam. If you are in the bodham state, you are always anandam. Is the nature of that. Nirubamam adivelam nitya muktam niriham. So, it is full of knowledge and bliss. At that, if you are in the awareness state, it is full of knowledge and bliss. Niravadi gaganabham nishkalam nurvigalpam. Hridi kalayadi vidvan brahmapurnam samadho. It goes beyond, it has no limitations in that state. Mind has limitations, isn't it? Whereas, bodham has no limitations. It's unlimited, one thing. And it is always free and there is no activity there. Niravadi gaganavam nishkalam nurvigalpam. Nurvigalpam means there is no thought waves coming anymore. These are all related to realized souls we are talking about. Hridi kalayadi vidvan brahmapurnam samadho. He is brahmapurnam. Brahma means it is like the sky which is indivisible and it is absolute. That state of consciousness is like that. He mentions that. And then in the next verse also he says, പ്രകൃതി വികൃതി ശൂന്യം. പ്രകൃതിസ് വികൃതി വോണ്ട് വർക്ക് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ എനിമോർ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് പ്രകൃതിസ് വികൃതി? ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. ഇറ്റ് കനോട്ട് വർക്ക് ദെയർ എനിമോർ. ഭാവനാതീത ഭാവം. ഹി വിൽ നോട്ട് ഗോ എനിമോർ ഇൻ ടു ഇമാജിനേഷൻ. ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ, യു ക്യാൻ ഇമാജിൻ തിങ്സ് വെൻ യു ഹാവ് മൈൻഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ത്രൂ മൈൻഡ് യു ആർ ഇമാജിനിങ് തിങ്സ്. ബട്ട് ദിസ് പേഴ്സൺ, ഹി ഹാസ് ട്രാൻസ്സെൻഡഡ് ദ മൈൻഡ്. സോ ദെയർഫോർ ഭാവനാതീതം. You cannot anymore involve in bhavana, imagination. That stage is gone. Bhavanatidam. Bhavanatida bhavam. Always beyond, because of the mind only, we are imagining things. Is it not? We imagine many things through the mind. Certain things, we want some happiness in life. We can't have it, but through the mind you can have it. Isn't it? You can enjoy it. Certain things. Nice prasadam you can enjoy through the mind. Like that brahmana who was eating the sweet rice. He created such state. You remember that story in the Chinese Charitamrita? TLC, I think. Lord Chaitanya's book. It talks about that. So you can enjoy so many things through bhavana. Imagination, it can make it happen. And bhavanadidam. Bhavanadidam means that stage is gone. It's not anymore in bhavana. It's not in imagination anymore. You reach that state of consciousness that it is pure consciousness. Complete pure consciousness, that is. Bhavanati the bhavam. Smara sama samanam mana sambandha duram. Nigama vajana siddham. Nitya mastra atpra siddham. Hridi kalayadi vidvan brahma purnam samadho. He, in that state of samadhi, kalyadi vidvan brahma purnam samadho, there is no there cause and effect. In that cause and effect means, in the mental platform when you are operating, there is cause and effect, isn't it? Anything what happens, you will find out why it happened. Or you think that if I have done like this, I will get this result. This is the work of the mind that does, cause and effect. This cause and effect lives in that state. That is why jnanis are able to operate in this world without getting disturbed. Because there is no cause and effect. Whereas when we do something in this world, what will I get from that? This is what we will think. For them, there is no such thing. They will continue to work in this world. Whatever happens in this world doesn't disturb them. That state they have reached. That is what it is called. There is no cause and effect in them anymore. പ്രകൃതി വികൃതി ശൂന്യം ഭാവനാതീത ഭാവം സ്മരസമ സമാനം മാനസംബന്ധ ദൂരം മാനസംബന്ധ ദൂരം നിഗമ വചന സിദ്ധം നിത്യമസ്തപ്രസിദ്ധം നിത്യമസ്തപ്രസിദ്ധം ഹൃദി കലയതി വിദ്വാൻ ബ്രഹ്മപൂർണം സമാധൗ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ റിയാലിറ്റി ദിറ്റ് ഈസ് എ റിയാലിറ്റി ആക്ച്വലി ബിയോണ്ട് ഓൾ യുവർ ഇമാജിനേഷൻസ്. ദിസ് റിയാലിറ്റി ഓഫ് ബോധം is beyond our imagination. All these verses are only to help us, to establish us, to make us aware there is another state beyond this mental platform and intellectual platform. Because normally people won't accept that easily, would you? Even the scientists, therefore them, the highest limit is intellectual platform. After intellectual, they are not willing to accept anything else. Acharya Swamiji, in the Viveka Chudamani, he wants to establish and make it clear to us that there is another state beyond intelligence, and that is this state what he is talking about. This state of bodham, consciousness. And that is the state of the jnani. That's the state of the jnani. Beyond the range established by the pronouncement of the Vedas. Vedam talk about that. Shastram talks about this. And ever familiar to us as the sense of the ego. The only connection we have about the Bodhamandalam or that sphere of activity of the Bodham awareness is through the ego. But ego also, when you completely leave, that is when you have, because you can see here Krishna talking about this, that you come to that platform and then bypass that ego also and goes to the pure consciousness, state of pure consciousness. Mm-hmm. So there he says again, Ajaramara മസ്താൻ ഭാവവസ്തു സ്വരൂപം സ്ഥിമിത സലില രാശി പ്രഖ്യമാത്മാവിഭീനം ശമിത ഗുണവികാരം ശാശ്വതം ശാന്തം ഏകം ഹൃദി കലയതി വിദ്വാൻ ബ്രഹ്മപൂർണ സമാധൗ. ദീസ് ത്രീ വേഴ്സസ് ഹി ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ പെർട്ടിക്കുലർലി ടു ടെൽ അസ് the existence of a state like that which is beyond the state of mind and intelligence. These three verses. He says here, the wise man, this ajanamaramastha bhava vastu surupam. The wise man realizes in his heart. He realizes in his heart through samadhi. Through Brahma realization happens to him. And the which precludes all negations. In other words, simita salila rashi prakhyamakhya vihinam. That means that prakhyamakhya vihinam. That means there is no allowance of right or wrong there anymore. Everything is taken out. And which resembles the like a ocean, which is ocean, you cannot say it has got one name. For example, like in the Atlas, you will see Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, or so many oceans mentioned. But actually, they don't exist as separate name. Is that we have given a name like that between two lands, but they are all one in ultimately water only. That's the same water mixed with Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, or Indian Ocean, whichever ocean you take, they're all same water together. But we have given separate names to it for our convenience, we have done that. In the similarly, it mentions here that it is like an ocean when he comes to that pure consciousness. There is no separation anymore, anywhere. And without a name, in which there are neither merits nor demerits there, exist there. Kriti kalayani vidvan, brahma purno samadho. And he is always eternal, and he is fully in tune with that, and it is one. Absolute reality is one. So like this, it has been spoken by the acharyas, but Maharshi's case, as we mentioned, that he experienced this state out of the mind. Mind has no impact on him anymore. So that you can see that in his life, he says there that he went to that when he this realization came, he decided that there is nothing to study anymore. That's what will happen. Then up to that time, we are trying to make others, everyone spiritual. And we say to them that you want that also, spiritual and material both. All these things we tell them initially. But when a person has genuinely come to spiritual life, he cannot continue with material life anymore. It's not possible. That's the example of that. Everyone has done the same thing. Walked out from there, whether through bhakti process or jnana margam, doesn't matter. Once the wake-up call comes from inside, then you can't carry on with any of these things, what is going on here, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, they put it as Lokabahya. Lokabahya means he has left the world. He's not in this world anymore. You will see in the Bhagavatam, if you look into the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see there that how Kavi Maharshi, I think, Hari Maharshi says that. Lokabahya, he says, he has left the world. He's not here anymore. And that is why he says there that... Yeah, it is Hari Maharshi who says there. Sorry, Hari Maharshi says, verse 40, chapter 2, 11:240. Evam radaso priyanana kirtya jadanurago drudacittamuchaihi hasatyado raudidi raudikayan. Unmadavan mrtyati lokabahya. He says, evam vradasu priyanama kirtya. One who has chanted Krishna's holy name and he has come to this state through chanting. Jadanu rago druta chittam uchaihi. That ragam, attachment, has developed in him so strongly for the truth. Druta chittam uchaihi. And what does he do? Sometimes he shouts, roars, and screams. Hasatyado rodidi raudigayan. Sometimes he laughs without any, it won't make any sense to us why he is laughing. Hasatyado rodidi, sometimes he cries. Raudi gayan nunmadavan martyadi, sometimes he sings happily. Udmadavan Mrityadi, like a mad person, he dances. And finally, Hari Maharshi Kavik says here, Loka Bahya, he has left this world once for all. He is the person who has left the world. We have not left the world, we have only left the body, but we will come back and get another one here. We don't leave the world easily. We won't, even if you want to leave, you can't leave this world. You don't have to worry about that, oh, I have to leave the world. No, you are not going to leave the world, you will come back here again in some other form. But the one who has left the world is this. Evam padaswa priyanama kirtya jadani rago drudachitta mucchai hasatyado rodhidi raudi gayin unmadavan matyadi logabahya. Logabahya, like Jadaparada, like the Tatraya Maharshi, Krishabadev and many others like that. They are the examples of that. So leaving the world means this, that not otherwise. So this experience that if this happens, there is no question of education anymore. Is there? How can you get educated after all this happened in this way? So that is why in Maharshi's case also he left home straight away and walked out from there. And for 54 years he lived in that temple in Thiruvananmalai. And it took a long time for many others to understand his state of consciousness. You can't blame the people, because they didn't know what that a person can be like this. But it took a long time for others to understand. And one day, a friend of him came to visit him, because from the family won't leave you easily, isn't it? They'll pull you back, put the rope and pull you back into family life again. So mother or somebody sent a friend to get him back to life again, as the way the family sees the life is. So he says to him, a friend came up to see him and he says to him, you should have told me that this experience you had at home, why did you leave home and come here like this? So Maharshi says to him, I myself didn't know that this was happening to me, what can I do? He said, So this is the situation. And that later on, how did he come to know that all these things? Some learned personalities came to see him. And they started reading the book to him. And he could see that all his experiences were what they were reading in the book. So they started saying that then he started realizing that this is self-realization. Himself didn't know about it. And people are trying very hard to realize the self, and they are engaged in sadhana for this purpose, and they are studying so many books for this purpose. All these things Maharshi understood later. He himself says this. I didn't know that it is for this that they are doing all these things, he says. Just a very innocent way he is saying this. How open he is about it. He's not saying, I did so much sadhana, that's why I'm here now like this, like our men do. Many people do it in this world, we say like that. Say, I've done so many, so much I've done for Krishna. Now you see where I am now. This is, once it so happened, this ahangaram, how it doesn't leave us, is a very interesting thing. Once there was an interfaith meeting. So all sorts of people were there in that interfaith meeting. So there were some people saying that our group has got the best people with high degree of knowledge. Very learned people, they are in our group. One party said. Another party said, that's all right, your group may have very learned people. But people in our group, they've got everything, they do things very precisely according to the scripture. They have very follow the scriptures very precisely. And they have, they won't deviate anything from the Shastram. They are very pakka in following the Shastram. Another group said. A third group said, that may be so. Your group may be like this, other group may be like that. Our group has got the maximum followers, he said. The third group. Maximum number of people are with us, he said. So he said that and he made his remark and he left. And the fourth one comes and he says, that's all fine. Your group may have the maximum followers. Your group may have the full knowledge of the Shastram, who follows the Shastram. And your group may be following everything very precisely. But our group, you know, our group has got the highest humility. He's in our group, he said. So where is the false ego now? So it will never leave. It cannot go. False ego cannot go easily. Unless, as Krishna says, Mamjiyo vibhijarena bhakti yogena sevida sagunan samuditidan brahma bhuyaya kalpade. That's when it will happen. Till then it is not going to happen. This ego won't allow that to happen. So, Krishna mentions there that the in this verse that so he realized that this self-realization, you can't find it in the world. You can't do research with it. You can't do anything outside about self-realization. It has to happen only inside. And we, what we do is, because we don't know the inside world, we put a person's picture and put some effulgence around his face and say that, oh, he's self-realized because there's an effulgence around his face. And actually there won't be light or anything. That is only in the movie, the picture. They show like that, a light outside, yellowish sun outside his face, isn't it? Around his face to show that he's self-realized. But there won't be anything like that because everything has happened inside, isn't it? And so, and if we have the proper maturity, then you will be able to smell in that person his state of consciousness. Will be, provided we have that maturity from that. And when you go closer to him, you will know it. When you get closer to him, you will know it. If you, Krishna sentions this in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there. Look at this, how Krishna puts it. In the fifth chapter, he mentions there that the, that's the verse, 26. He's saying that see that abhido brahma nirvanam vartade vididatmanam, the second part, kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhido brahma nirvanam vartade vididatmanam. He says kama krodham vimuktanam yadinam brahma chetasam yadinam yata chetasam abhido brahma nirvanam vartade vididatmanam. Krishna is saying here that just like if there is a plant which has got flowers, it's got flowers, and that flower will create a certain flavor around the tree, around the plant, isn't it? Because of the flowers, the flavor will be there. And similarly, he says here, abhido brahma nirvanam vartade vididatmanam. A person who is self-realized, he will smell like that tree. Not in the sense like a flower, but that self-realization inside will come out in some form, shandi first. That peace in that person. That is what that verse is saying. That those who are free, of course, the translation, those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. Abhido brahma nirvanam vartade vididatmanam. This is the symptom of that person. Exactly like a plant where there are flowers are fully bloom, and that flower is releasing that smell around the plant. Similarly, a self-realized person in his presence, you will know it, provided we need the maturity to know that when we go closer to him. That shandi from inside will come out. It's not like the flower smelling the flower, but you will smell that person's realization. That is the beauty of that. That's the beauty of that. So, that is that important point. So, I'll stop there for a few minutes and we'll continue. Kedo darpanvarjanam vamaha davagninarvapanam Shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jinanam Anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamadaswadhanam Sarvatna suvanam param vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namna Mahari Bahudanija Sarva Shakti Tatrapidaniya Vidasmarane Nakala Ekadrishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdeva Medrishamiha Janitanuraga Tranaravishuni Jena Tanora Visahishuna Amanina Manadena Kiltaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitavadva Jagadisha Kamaye Mamajanmani Janmani Shwane Bhavadar Bhakti Hare Jogitvai Ainandadanu Jagingaram Patitamam Shwane Bhavamudau Kripaya Bhavapadam Najasila Duri Sadasham Jindaya Nayanam Karadashudharaya Padanam Jagadarubhaya Gira Pulaver Nijidam Vadava Bhutavanam Grihane Bhavishyadi Yogayidam Yunishena Chakshusha Pravishayinam Shunyayinam Jagal Sarvan Govinda Grihe Namim Vishvishya Pagaradam Vinashtuma Adarshanam Armahadam Karyotuva Yadhadara Vidadhar Vilambado Akramamadhastu Devanatara So it is not possible to, for ordinary people, to know someone is self-realized or not, another person who is realized. All Krishna is giving you a hint there in that verse, to telling us that, giving an example, just like a plant with flowers around, how that smell will be there around him. Similarly, as Krishna says there, that the Kramakrodha Vimuktanam Yatinam Yatachedasam Abhido Brahma Narvanam Vartade Vididalpanam. That is in that state that Abhido Brahma Narvanam Vartade Vididalpanam. Vartade Vididalpanam. Krishna is saying there, almost similar to this, that like a flower releases that smell around, in a similar way, Brahmanurvanam means Brahman realization, is like this, he says, that there is a kind of shanti, peace, that comes from that person, and that will be in the atmosphere. When you go there, you will experience that, a certain peace in his presence. In his presence, you will know, suddenly your chittavritti will stop. That is the first symptom. That, suppose you are very much thought waves are coming in you. If you are in the vicinity of a person who is realized, your chittavritti will come to a stop. That is the effect, shandi. That will happen to us. So, that, because, in them, there is no vasana. Vasana is called vasana padalam. Vasana means this ragadvesham and various kinds of kamam, krotham. All these are vasanas. They don't have that in them. And because they are in that state, they don't have any mind operating there. Mind is nothing but these thought waves, isn't it? Therefore, that shanti, what is in them, will come out. What is inside them, that shanti will come out. This you can see, a person in the modes of nature also. A person, one who is in very strong tamogunam, when you get closer to him, you will see that tamogunam coming out through from that person. And it affects you as well. Similarly, you can see rajogunam. If a person is in strong rajogunam, if you are working with him or living with him, you will see 24 hours, you will be in tension as well. He will make life so hard because of his... And if you say anything to him, he will say to you, you are not sincere, that's why, you are so lazy. And he is so active, that he won't say. He will say, you are so lazy. And he will make your life very difficult. So, all three gunam also has got the same problem. And when you come out of the three gunam, that is shanti state. And that will also permeate in the environment. Similarly, if you are in a person with sattugunam, you will see that effect of sattugunam also will have its effect on you. Equally, when you go, the person who has transcended the three modes and his realized person, his shanti will also be in the atmosphere. In the atmosphere. You can see, this is not difficult to understand. This you can see from the modes of nature, how it operates in the same way. Like in tamogunam, it will have its effect, isn't it? Suppose somebody is very much disturbed and distressed, and if you have to spend time with that person for a long time with all his problems, and then what will happen? After a while, you also feel it, isn't it? You feel, where have I ended up? Now, I have to go through, what have I done for this? Because he will take away all peace, what you have inside you. He'll take that away. Because of his tamogunam, or the tamogunam what he is in. Similarly, rajogunam. Rajogunam will work through pravritti. He will make sure that you are engaged in devotional service or something like that. He will keep you occupied somehow or the other. And you will say, oh, he is engaging me in devotional service, I can't say anything. You don't want, you had 24 hours devotional, you have no time to read Bhagavad Gita or to chant the holy name because of your devotional service. Because he has engaged you so well in spiritual life. This will come to us only much later. Initially you won't know all these things. Initially you are thinking that, oh, we have got such a management of the temple that they are engaging you in everything all the time, 24 hours in Krishna service. And you have no time to read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or anything like that. And why? Because that person's nature is like that. He is engaging you in the same way, according to his nature. So, that is rajogunam. Similarly, if you are in sattugunam associating with people, that sattugunam will have its effect on us. Naturally, you will also feel more bhakti, shraddha, jnanam, vairagyam. These qualities will develop. This is a universal rule. You can't change it. That's the way it works. Whether it's inside the temple, outside the temple, doesn't matter. It applies everywhere, these rules. And that who has transcended all the three modes, Krishna is saying there, that their presence, their association will create that shanti will be there around them. So, and Krishna mentions there that one who has realized and who that shanti is coming from that person, he is called Trigunatitan, one who has transcended the three modes of material nature, one who has transcended them. For that person, he is not a person anymore. He is not an individual anymore. He is Krishna himself. He is Krishna himself. Krishna's form, nature is in him. His nature is same as Krishna's nature. Don't look at the physical nature. Inside that consciousness is like Krishna's consciousness. Always in shanti, isn't it? So that is what it is mentions here, that what is his state, and for him the whole world is Ishvara, Ishvara Swarupam, because he is in shanti state. Modes of nature is not there anymore. Therefore the whole world for him is Krishna's presence there, everywhere. And he is non-different from Krishna, from that way. This is what, when Krishna says, Jnani Tvatmaiva Me Matam. He says there in the fourth chapter, I think.
Seventh.
Seventh one, yeah. ఉదార సర్వైతే జ్ఞాని త్వాల్మైవ మే మదం ఆస్థిత సహయుక్తాత్మ మామేవ ఉత్తమం గదిం. వెన్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ దట్ హిస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈస్ నాట్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. దిస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ కృష్ణ అండ్ హిమ్ ఇన్ దట్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ లెవెల్. So that is why the same these verses have come from Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad is the original Upanishad from where these things have been taken out. There you will see there that the there's a verse, the same thing comes there that పురుష ఏవేదం విశ్వం కర్మ తపో బ్రహ్మ పరామృతం ఏదద్యో వేద నిహితం గుహాయం సో అవిద్యా గ్రంథిం విగరతి ఇహ సౌమ్య. దిస్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ది ముండక ఉపనిషత్ ద 10th వర్స్. పురుష ఏవేదం విశ్వం కర్మ తపో బ్రహ్మ పరామృతం ఏదద్యో వేద నిహితం గుహాయం సో అవిద్యా గ్రంథిం విగీరతిహ సౌమ్య. సౌమ్య ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ దిస్ హోల్ క్రియేషన్ విశ్వం ఈస్ ఐస్ హియర్ దిస్ ఇస్ హోల్ క్రియేషన్ ఈస్ కృష్ణ అట్ దట్ టైమ్ వెన్ హీ హస్ కమ్ టు దట్ స్టేట్ హోల్ క్రియేషన్ ఈస్ కృష్ణ అండ్ హీఈస్ ఆల్సో పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ క్రియేషన్ ఈస్ అన్ ఇట్. In other words, his false ego has gone from inside. The false ego has completely ahankaram. You know, ahankaram, another name of ahankaram is that hridaya grandhi. Remember hridaya grandhi, the word vidyate hridaya grandhi chidyante, that vidyate hridaya grandhi is ahankaram. Ahankaram is hridaya grandhi. That hridaya grandhi is called as a knot. The knot has broken. The knot has broken. That is what he is saying here. So inside, outside, it's only Chidakasham, Chitshakti, outside. And such a person who is experiencing that, he is called Gunadhidan. I have to say this because when many people are studying Bhagavad Gita and they are seeing only on the translation and purport. Translation purport is not Bhagavad Gita everything. You can't get Bhagavad Gita through translation purport. Only when you start seeing the subtlety of these verses and their intimate connection with the Upanishads, you will start seeing that it's not a simple subject as you thought it is before. This Upanishads link, if you take it away from Bhagavad Gita, you are lost. Because of this reason only, but because it is so closely connected with Upanishad, they started calling Bhagavad Gita as Upanishad. It's called Gita Upanishad, isn't it? But in the 101 Upanishads listed, Bhagavad Gita is not there. Bhagavad Gita is a part of Mahabharata. But why was it called Upanishad? Because that is a place where Vedavyasa Maharshi brought Upanishad's knowledge and packaged it and put it into Mahabharata. So therefore, because it's pure Upanishad's knowledge, people started calling it as Gita Upanishad. That's how Gita Upanishad name has come. Purely because of its intimate relationship with the Upanishads. But we don't look at that side of it. We simply study Bhagavad Gita translation purport. What has happened is that, other things, we don't need it, we say. Upanishads, I don't need it. I only need the Bhagavad Gita. Then your understanding or your realization from the Bhagavad Gita will be very, very much on the surface. It will never go deeper into the thing what Krishna meant to get through that message to us. Because the message is so deep, now you will see in the next verse how it's going to come out. It's so difficult that to explain that. So, Krishna is saying here that that person is Gunatitan in the last chapter. When he talked about Gunatitan means one who has transcended the three modes of nature. Krishna is saying in this chapter that person is found Purushottama. Purushottama Yogam this is called, isn't it? Purushottama. So this word Purusha is only a name for Krishna, Ishvara. Only he deserves that name. And in Sanskrit, the philosophy and the grammar, they are very closely linked. You will see how different Sanskrit grammar is from all other grammar, all other languages. Sanskrit grammar is completely based on spiritual life, not material life. English and every other language, if you take, our grammar is based on material transactions, isn't it? Material identities, that's what comes in English language, in German and everything. Excludingly in Sanskrit, exclusively, the grammar is centered on spiritual understanding. Can you make grammar spiritual? Yes, you can. That's what is the next verses are going to start like that. The whole understanding of spiritual life centered around grammar. Even grammar has to be perfect to understand spiritual life. That is how depth the whole Bhagavad Gita's philosophy is. So you can see here that this word Purusham is only related to Krishna. Only Krishna can use the word Purusha. Whereas we know, the problem is when it translates into our language, whether it is Hindi or Gujarati or Tamil or Malayalam, doesn't matter. In all these languages, as soon as you translate into it, it loses that spiritual connection what is in the original Sanskrit language it is. How? Take for example, here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the word Purusha, isn't it? That is Purusha, it's Krishna. When you go to airports, toilets and everything, it'll say Purush, Sri, separately mentions there. There Purusha is based on the body. Whereas Bhagavad Gita, Purusha is based on the Supreme Truth. The oneness and the truth itself is Purusha. Purusha is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. So you can see here that Krishna is the truth, Purusha, isn't it? Why do we say about ourselves Purusha then, if it is like that? Reason is, in fact, in reality, we are also Purusha, is it not? Because that Antaryami inside, that is our real identity, not this body. But when they put the toilets and all the notice outside Purusha Stree, they are not looking into that. They are saying based on the body they are put. There itself things have gone wrong. So the grammarians who are the created the grammar, like Panini and all, who wrote the grammar for this, there are many, many great personalities behind them, who are so highly knowledgeable and realized in these things, they've done a wonderful job. What they've done was, for example, in English, you have got first person, you got second person and the third person, isn't it? First person is I, second person is you, and third person is he or she. This is English, is it not? In English it's like that. English grammar, I know everybody understands. First person is I, second person is you, third person is he or she. That's how it is. In Sanskrit, first person is not me. Me. It's not me. First person is not I, it is he. First person is he. Second person is you. And third person is Krishna. Why? Why is it like that? You see the difference between English and any other language. I'm not talking about English because we are using English. Between English and the Sanskrit. In Sanskrit, they call it as first person is called Prathama Purushan. Second person is called Madhyama Purushan. And third person is called Uttama Purushan. Tritiya Purushan or Uttama Purushan. So when we say first person, for us normally it is me in English. Whereas in Sanskrit it is he. Saha. That's the word they used. Saha. And Madhyama Purushan is when we use second person, there he is called you, is Tvam. 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 You can see in the word Tattvamasi. Tvam. Tvam. And the last one, which is the third person, where we normally, for us, I am important, isn't it? That's why in other languages, I am important. That's first I start with me, and then you, and then the he or she. But in Sanskrit, it's not like that. First person is he, and the second person is Tvam, And the third person, Uttama Purushan, is Aham. Aham it is, called Aham. Why Aham? Because that's Krishna, Uttama Purushottama. It's the Aham. So, this Uttama Purushan, who is he? The Uttama Purushan, you will see a verse here in the Bhagavad Gita, in that 15th chapter. If you look at the 17th verse, see what it says. Uttama Purushastanyam. That's how that verse begins. Uttama Purushastanyam Paramatme Yudahrida Ye Logo Traima Avishya Vibhati Avyeshwara. Uttama Purushastanyam Paramatme Yudahrida Yo Loga Traima Avishya Vibhati Avyeshwara. Vibhati Avyeshwara. He says, besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Lord Himself, who has entered into these worlds and is maintaining them. In other words, Uttama Purushan is the third person, but it is that third person who is present in everyone in this world. Antaryami. He is the Uttama Purushan. He's the best. Whereas for us, third person is third class or whatever it is called. It's the third person. First person, second person, third person. That's how we, isn't it, in English? Whereas in Sanskrit, first person, second person, and third person, aham. And that's aham. That means awareness inside, aham bodham. That is more important. Tritiya Purushan, but he is the first person. He is the Prathama Purushan. In Sanskrit, we call it Prathama Purushan, Madhyama Purushan, Uttama Purushan. That is how it is. First person, Prathama Purushan is not I, he, Saha, it is called. Madhyama Purushan, you or Tvam, and Uttama Purushan, Aham. When you go home, sit and look at this comparison between English grammar and the Sanskrit grammar, and you will get it then. It's not difficult. You will get that way it is structured, the grammar has been written. So, Uttama Purushastanyam Paramatmaiti Udaharana, Krishna is saying there. So, that means that Paramatma, who is present in everyone's heart as Aham, 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 all the time, Spurana, Spurana means Jnapti, Prajna, Bodham, Atma, whichever way you want to address it, that is the first person. That is the Prathama Purushan or Uttama Purushan, as he is called Uttama Purushan. He is the best and he is Aham. He is Aham. Whereas in our languages, other languages except Sanskrit, I am saying, why we say like this? We say Aham, Aham, we will say like this. For example, in English for me it's me first, I am, based on this body, isn't it? No reference to the Atma inside. No reference to the Atma inside. Whereas in Sanskrit, everything comes from Atma. It doesn't even care for what body you have got. It's Atma that matters. And that is why grammar and philosophy always together. Always together. You can't separate the grammar out. Even if you study grammar, you will become a philosopher. Your understanding will go in a philosophical way, in the Krishna conscious way. This is why, you remember, because of this, from the Vedam Upanishads, it's like that. That is why when Jiva Goswami, when he finally wrote Harinamamrita Vyakaranam, a book he compiled later, using Krishna's words, Krishna's holy name, as a way to explain the grammar. There's a book, you can read that. Small book, textbook like. Jiva Goswami wrote a book in the form of grammar about the holy name. Because he knows that this whole philosophy of the Vedam is based on grammar as well. Even grammar can't go wrong there. It cannot contradict with the philosophical understanding. So, that Hridayasthanam, aham, 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 always it's shining forth from inside. That awareness, that is the greatest recognition in the Shastra, not in the body. This awareness inside, as Krishna mentioned earlier, aham atma gudagesha sarvabhuta shayastida aham adhyam cha madhyam cha bhutanam andam evacha, that aham has got the highest recognition in the Bhagavad Gita above everything else. If you look, you will see there that, that aham, look at so many verses Krishna has claimed from aham. Aham alma gudakesha, 10:20. Then aham evakshaya kala, 10:33. Aham hi sarva yajnanam, 9:24. Aham kradur aham yajna sudaham aham aushadam mandroham aham evaj aham evadna aham hudam. That, 9:16. Then aham krishnasya jagada prabhava pralayastida, 7:6. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanyita, 10:8. Then aham tuam sarva bhavebhyo moksha ikshyami mahashucha, 18:66. Aham sarvasya aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam dehamashrida, that verse. Pranapana samahitva pajamyannam chaturvitham, that verse, which is the 15:14. Then ahangaya, so you can see everything is aham, aham. And that aham is uttama purushan Krishna. Krishna is uttama purushan, andaryami, whichever way you want to call, exclusively referring to presence of Krishna in all living beings, in all living beings as the Atma, andaryami, andaratma, in that way. So that is that. Aham. That is that. Aham. So, before we get into this chapter, there is a few things to know these things, because only then we will understand the first verse itself. So this aham Krishna has spoken here, why, you may wonder why this. Now, it is possible that people will take it when Krishna says aham, oh, it's Krishna, he's talking about that person. It's not only a person I'm saying. It is that Krishna's, that aspect of Krishna as present in everyone, as the Alma, Andaralma of everyone, that is how that aham to be understood. Not simply that form of Krishna what you saw in Vrindavanam or Mathura or Dwaraka, but as the Andaryami in all living entities, in the whole creation who is present everywhere, that whole presence of Krishna, that is that aham referring to. Aham referring to. I think we'll stop there. We'll have some kirtan.